Sorry about the slight delay. I think some other people are going to join us. If not, that's also okay. So I want to learn... Okay, great. So I want to learn two ideas from the Nesivos Shalom on Parshat Tzav, and mainly, since now we're 1 week away from Pesach, and which is very common in the Nesivos Shalom, he very often, when there's a yantif, when there's a holiday in the vicinity, so he'll always connect the ideas from the Parsha to the holiday. So I want to try to see quickly two ideas from the Parsha and how they connect to the upcoming yantif of Pesach. The first one that I want to learn is in Nesivos Shalom in Vayikra, page Chavav, Zot Torah Ta'ola, where he talks about the Ola. The Ola, now obviously since we're in Chumash Vayikra, Parshat Tzav, we're all about Korbanot and all of the different sacrifices and offerings that were given in the Beit HaMikdash. a very, very difficult area of Halakha, and probably it's difficult because it's a very foreign area of Halakha. It's something so distant from us and so abnormal to our culture, to our to the world that we come from, Western civilization, and also just in our yeshiva learning, for most of us, myself included, it's rarely an area of halacha, an area of Torah that's given primacy and deep invested study. Sometimes later on, in more advanced yeshivas, it's an area which is given more focus on, but in many shivas, the area of korbanot and kachim and tarot is an area that's really generally left for more advanced students. But when it comes to Chumash Vayikra, we can't escape it, and we need to jump right in. Personally, the world of Chasidut, the world of Machshava, the world of Musar, the world of Hashkafa, gives us ways that we can relate to the ideas from Korbanot, which make it digestible for us, make it relatable to us, and bring the ideas down to us. And that certainly is what's very, very commonly found in Nesivos Shalom. So he talks about the Korban Ola. The Korban Ola, the Torah says that the Korban Ola is one of the main Korbanot that was given in the Beit HaMikdash. And what was unique about the Korban Ola is that it was a Korban that was Kalul Hashem. It was completely burnt up. The whole Korban was burnt up and devoured by the Mizbeach. Unlike all other Korbanot, Korban Chatat, Korban Shlamim, they were, a big component of the Korban was given on the Mizbeach, but also a significant component was also not, and was eaten either by Kohanim or by others as a nice, delicious barbecue after the Korban ceremony was done. But the Korban Olah was given completely to the Mizbeach, and the whole thing was consumed by the fire of the altar. The Nesivos Shalom says like this. He quotes a midrash. Zot Torah Ta'ola, ze amar David, mi yaleh bar Hashem, umi yakum bimkom kadsho. Niki chapayim uvar leva, v'haynu she Torah Ta'ola, hi ha-Torah lehichafetz, lehachafetz, lehachafetz, excuse me, lehachafetz, lehitalot, ulehitna'er legamrei me'olam hazeh, lealot bar Hashem, ulakum bimkom kadsho. The Nesivos Shalom, based on the Midrash Tanchumat, says that the Ola is for us the paradigm of one who wishes to ascend to a complete level of transcendence and loftiness of spirituality. And he continues from the Midrash Tanchuma, Lama nikra shema Ola, shehi elyonam mikol korbanot. It's called Ola because it's the most transcendent, it's the highest of all the korbanot. Teda, you should know, Mishaya mevi chatat ha-kohen odla. If you brought a korban chatat, a sin offering, the kohen would take it. V'chein mincha, if you would bring a flour offering, a meal offering, v'zevach ha-shlamim le-ba'alehen, or a shlamim korban, so the owners would get to enjoy the leftovers of that korban. Ha-asham, a guilt offering, that goes to the kohen. Aval ha-olah, but the korban ha-olah, Ein bria to'e mimena, ela kula ola l'kadosh baruch hu shu elyon, l'chein nikra shema ola. The whole thing goes to God. The whole thing goes to the most transcendent place possible. The whole thing goes up to God, and no human being enjoys of that service. Says the Nesivos Shalom, based on this, we can see that the paradigm of the Korban Ola is the way in which that we can discuss and learn about a path for complete dedication to God and complete transcendence. There's no, in the Korban HaOlah, there is no self-gain, there is no hana'a, there is no enjoyment. It's a paradigm of complete giving to God. Ma she'en kein, as opposed to, im murevet bazeh izo hana'a, ein zeh korban mufchar. But if it's a korban where a human being will enjoy from it, whether it's a kohen or the baalim, so that isn't the same level of the olah. Now it's important to say that, and it's important, footnote, it's important, to note that the majority of korbanot and the majority of the avodah is not an olah. The olah is unique, and it's even a minority of the korbanot. Meaning to say, a large part of the avodah beit hamikdash, and then we could take that paradigm to our avodah in general, does incorporate our own enjoyment, our own benefit, our own gain, our own hana'ah. It is for us. There is a dimension of Torah and mitzvot, a large dimension, right? That is, meant to be for our well-being and general goodness, and not this complete level of sacrifice and submission and completely giving to God. Meaning Shabbat is oneg Shabbat. We eat and we drink and we wear fine clothes and we're meant to enjoy Yom Tov, Simchat Yom Tov. We're meant to buy gifts for our family. We're meant to enjoy good food. We're meant to to have Simcha, that there should be and so much of halacha is for us, but there is a very important dimension of the general world of avodat Hashem, of service of God, in which we try to tap into this complete transcendence, this complete giving to God, this complete submission to God, and that's the way of ascending to this level of the olah. Says the Nesivos Shalom, there's two ways in which, in our world, we can fulfill this paradigm of the Korban Ola. Two ways of accomplishing the Korban Ola. Number one, ha'alef, zot Torah ta'ola, koach ha'torah, through Torah study. Says the Nesivos Shalom, the Torah study, as the pasuk itself about the Korban Ola, which says, zot Torah ta'ola, this is the Torah of the Ola. And Chazal, in many places, make a connection between the world of Torah and the world of Korbanot, especially in a world without Korbanot, without a Beit HaMikdash, that Torah can fulfill the place, that void of Korbanot. And that's what the Torah is hinting to when it says, Zot Torah Ta'olah, this is the Torah of the Olah. That through the Torah, through our sacred tradition, through our divine wisdom that Hashem gave us, we can achieve the Olah. And I'll just skip ahead just so we can get all the ideas in. It says in Nesivos Shalom, Koach HaTorah Yadam Megiim LaHaolah. Through the Torah, and learning the Torah, and internalizing the Torah, and living the Torah, we can come to this level of the Olah, of complete transcendence and submission, of complete giving to God. Because when a person is living Torah, when a person is internalized Torah, and everything in their life is through the lens of Torah, with the values of Torah, with the priorities of Torah, and halacha, and mitzvot, and avodat Hashem, then that is an olah. Even if a person is eating, even if a person is drinking, even if a person is sleeping, even if a person is doing business, well, especially, right, that's the greatest way that Torah permeates our life, to bring Torah in to the world of the mundane, to bring the Torah into those parts of life that it can sanctify. But when a person's life is learning Torah, and living Torah, and thinking Torah, and talking Torah, and manifesting Torah, and the values of Torah, and the attributes, and the characteristics, and the character traits, and the values of Torah, then that is an olah, because even if a person is taking a walk, this is the Shulchan Aruch in Orach Chaim, in the first section of Shulchan Aruch, in section 231, Reish Lamed Aleph. I once heard in the name of Rav Nevensal, the chief rabbi, the old chief rabbi of the old city, who unfortunately now has pneumonia, and we pray that he should have a refuah shleima. but I once heard that he said that this is the hardest siman in all of Shulchan Aruch. 231. What is siman 231 in Shulchan Aruch talk about? Shulchan Aruch Orach Chaim. She yu kol ma'asecha l'shem shamayim. That everything you do should be for the sake of heaven. When you eat, when you drink, when you sleep, in your leisure time, when you rest, when you work, the relationship between husband and wife, that everything, he said, this is the hardest part of Shulchan Aruch, to bring God into the mundane on that level is tremendously, tremendously lofty. But when we do that, when we bring Torah into that level, that's the power of Torah to make our whole life into an olah. That the power of Torah, the passion of Torah, the wisdom of Torah, the values of Torah can sanctify and can transcend a person's entire life, literally to that level of Korban Olah. That's method number one of manifesting the Korban Olah. Method number two of manifesting the Korban Olah, he says, is based on the continuation of the pasuk about the Korban Olah, hi ha'ula al mokdal mizbeach kol alayla, that it would burn all night, right? If you're going to burn a nice cow, a nice ox, a nice goat, sheep, lamb on the mizbeach, it's going to take, you know, a long time for the whole thing to burn up. So it would burn all night on the fire, that fire that would burn through the nighttime, and the fire of the mizbeach, the fire of the altar would consume it. Says in Nesivos Shalom, this could also be understood homiletically, also could be understood metaphorically. He says that the nighttime is a reference to the time when negative energy is very, very strong, when darkness sets in, when there isn't that clarity of the daytime, when there is a pull towards, you know, the dark side, as it were, and a person's more animalistic instincts, you know, are coming out. You know, I always think of the movie I Am Legend. That's one of my favorite movies. I don't know if you ever, with Will Smith, I Am Legend, right? That, you know, during the daytime he would go out, and the nighttime, you know, he would have to lock up his house, because then all of the zombies and you know, dogs, whatever they were, they would come out, and a lot of that negative evil, you know, downwards energy is so pervasive throughout, and that's true on a spiritual sense, it's true on an emotional sense, it's true on a psychological sense, that darkness comes with, you know, gets people down, and, you know, nighttime, you know, in culture, is, you know, certainly in modern culture, is associated with, you know, that's party time, that's time for, you know, people sleep all day and party all night, you know, there's a lot of nighttime energy. And that's when people have to put up with and have to deal with, you know, certain drives that don't have to deal with so much during the day. Says the Nesivos Shalom, based on this paradigm, im yudi zovech et yitzro ve'esh ha-mizbech tukad bo, bekoch zeh harei magia la'ola la'alot bar Hashem. That when a person is able not to chas v'shalom, this is very important, not to run away from these energies, not to to ignore them or deny them or bottle them up, but when a person is able to look at these energies in the face and recognize them and work on them, and through working on self-control, working on understanding how to use these energies for productive purposes and connective purposes, and healthy outlets, etc., then a person can take these energies and literally, just like the Korban Olah, offer it to Hashem. And he says these are the two ways, through the Torah and through dealing with these energies that we have to deal with in life. If a person can take these two approaches, then that's bringing the teaching of the Korban Olah into our life. But then, and this is what I want to get to, he says this also can be connected to Pesach, because Pesach has also something that's very similar to the Korban Olah. And what's that? Isor Chametz. On Pesach, no leavened products, no fluffy bread, no puffy baked goods. And in addition to eating matzah and not having any chametz, the Torah says we need to destroy the chametz. We need to remove it all from our house. Even the tiniest little bit. Generally in halacha we say something is batel b'shishim. In Pesach, not even batel b'shishim. It's not even nullified 1/60. Even the smallest bit will make something else into chametz. And on Pesach, we get rid of all of the chametz. Complete simplicity. Complete removal of all of those things in our life that bring in that fluff, that bring in that negative energy, that bring us backwards, that hold us back, that disconnect us from the true self that we have, that cause us to not be the Olah. And while we use Torah and we use our battle against our Yetzer as active ways of actualizing the Korban Olah, complete transcendence and connection with the highest spiritual value, at the same time, there also has to be that definition, that dimension, of removal of anything that's preventing us from becoming an Olah. And that's what's manifest by the chametz. And he says that just to conclude, that on the night of the Seder, that's a night of tremendous spiritual inspiration. But we don't want it to just come and go. We don't want it to be a tremendous experience with tremendous, you know, influx of spirituality and meaning and purpose and truth and connection, and then for it to just be a one and done type of situation. The way in which we keep it going is by creating an environment for the next 7 days of Pesach where there's not going to be the chametz around, there's not going to be that negative energy, the selfishness, the laziness, the lust, the ego, the honor, the desires, whatever it is in our own life that we're trying to work on, that's manifested, it's represented by chametz, we remove that from our midst. In order so that the environment, that spiritual inspiration that we experience in Leil HaSeder can be fostered and can be given the space to, what's it called when you allow a chemical reaction to take place? Can't think of the word right now, but it needs that healthy environment for it to grow, to grow properly, to grow healthily, and to not be lost, and to be cherished, and to be developed in a healthy way. And that's removal of the chametz in order so that spiritual energy can be maintained. That's idea number one from the Olah. Let's just one more idea from the Nesivos Shalom. Let's see. We'll go a little bit past 3:30 today because we started a little late. Ten more minutes, is that okay? 10 more minutes? Gevaldik. So another idea from the Nesivos Shalom, this is on page Chavtet, in Chumash Vayikra and Parshat Tzav is also connected to the Olah, also connected to an idea that we mentioned quickly beforehand, and that is Chazal famously say, based on that pasuk that we mentioned, Zot Torat HaOlah. Chazal say, Kol HaOsek B'Torat HaOlah Kilu Yikriv Olah. That when one learns the Torah of the Olah, it's as if they have given a Korban Olah. And there is a lot of literature about this idea, what exactly it means. Does it actually mean that one has given a Korban Olah? And there's also similar Mamar Chazal about a Korban Chatat as well, and other Korbanot, that if you learn the Torah of that Korban, it's as if you've offered the Korban. Some ask the question, so would that mean that if a person learned the Torah of the Korban, when they were obligated in that Korban, then they don't need to give the Korban because they learned the Torah instead? So I saw the Torah Tamima, and others say, no, it's more metaphorical, that it has that same inspiration, has the same, you know, values and ideas, but it doesn't get you off the hook of having to offer the Korban. And they bring many, many, many proofs that, you know, that great rabbis, after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, if they did something that made them chayav in a Korban, they would write it down in their notebook. When the Beit HaMikdash is built, I need to give Korban so-and-so. And so they asked, you know, why don't they just learn the Torah of that Korban? And then they'll have fulfilled that obligation. So they answered, no. It's only, or either it's just, you know, an idea, it's just metaphorical, or B, and I saw another opinion that says, until the Beit HaMikdash is built, so that is good enough to prolong the obligation. But once the base of Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt, then they have to go ahead and bring the Korban. But be it as it may, there's certainly this idea that when we learn the Torah of the Korbanot, we tap into the energy and the inspiration and the values and ideas that the Korbanot are coming to teach us and they're coming to inspire us with, and the energy that they're coming to imbue us with. And then Nesivut Shalom talks about this idea, and I just want to say one idea that he says regarding Kol HaOsek B'Torat HaOlah Kilu Yikriv Olah, that when you learn the Torah of the Olah, it's as if you've given an Olah. And this is on page Lamed in the Nesivut Shalom, and he says like this. He quotes a teaching from the Sefer Divrei Moshe, from the, I don't know who this is, Rav HaKadosh, Rav Moshe Doliner Zatzal. And he says from the Haggadah. In the Haggadah we say, all of the Psukei HaTorah Shel Yetzias Mitzrayim, Arami Oved Avi, Vayir Mitzrayima, and we darshan the whole story of the Exodus from Egypt. Why? He says, because when we say those psukim, and this is a very important idea of Seder night, we're not only remembering what happened once upon a time long, long ago, but Mamshichim Tahara Shel Pesach V'Yetziat Mitzrayim. We're literally imbuing and inspiring and bringing the energy and the inspiration of Yetziat Mitzrayim into our own experience. That same energy we're re-experiencing, that same inspiration, that same light, that same tremendous holy redemption that God brought the Jewish people, we're not only remembering it, but we're also re-experiencing it and reliving it ourselves. And this is a very important principle in all Yamim Tovim in general, that we're not just commemorating, but we're also reconnecting and reliving those experiences to a certain extent, right? That's the bracha that we say on Chanukah and Pesach, She'asa nisim la'avoteinu bayamim ahem bazman hazeh. Also those days, but also at this time, that in a sense we're re-experiencing that very energy, that very inspiration that was palpable during those days. It's also here present with us. We just need to tap into it. How do we tap into it? We tap into it through the Torah. The Torah is the gateway. The ideas and the text and the tradition of the Torah is the gateway to connect to those energies, to read the psukim, to read how Chazal interpreted the psukim and how they taught us what was coming out of the psukim, and through all of the generations, how they learned and how they taught and how they discussed the psukim of the Torah, that's our gateway of literally reconnecting and re-experiencing what happened in those times. And he says, "V'zeu shomrim baruch hamakom baruchu, baruch shenatan Torah la'amo Yisrael." היינו שמודים לקדוש ברוך הוא שנתן לנו את התורה הקדושה, אשר בת תמיר וגניז הרי הקדושה של כל הזמנים הקדושים. Why do we say, Baruch המקום ברוך הוא? So I'll just parenthetically, this is very exciting to me when I saw this idea. Because there's an idea that's found both in Rishonim and also it was made well known to me from the teachings of Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik from Yeshiva University from Boston, and I think also maybe he got it from his family, from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, his grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. I think it comes from the Masorah of Brisk, who explained that passage of the Haggadah is in a sense a Birkot HaTorah. Like every single morning, we say Birkot HaTorah, Asher Gishanu Misavet Sivanu Lasok B'Divrei Torah, and Asher Bacharbanu Mikol Amim V'Natanlanu Toto Baruchat Hashem Noten HaTorah, said Rav Soloveitchik, that at the Haggadah, we say Baruch She'amar as a special Birchos HaTorah for the Haggadah. And it's a beautiful idea, and it's found in a few different Haggadahs. But I always wondered, every single night when we sit down to learn Torah, do we need to make a new Birchos HaTorah? No. In fact, the poskim are very, very clear that the Birchos HaTorah that we make in the morning applies until the next morning. Okay, if we go to sleep for a long time, maybe it stops. But Birchos HaTorah, actually saw in this week in the Torah Tumimah, he says that Birchos HaTorah actually follows the paradigm of Korbanot, where the night goes after the day, as opposed to regularly, the day goes after the night. But be it as it may, Birchos HaTorah that we make in the morning goes into the night as well. And the question is, that I've long asked, and I thought of multiple answers for this question, why does the Seder need a new Birchos HaTorah? That's odd. We don't need to make a new Birchos HaTorah for night Seder. We don't need to make a new Birchos HaTorah when I sit down to learn any other night. So it must be that the Torah of the Seder is a different Torah. It must be that for some reason, what we're doing at the Seder requires a special Birchos HaTorah because the learning that we're doing at the Seder is a different type of learning. And this idea from the Nesiv HaShalom gave me a new insight into how it's a different learning. Because there are different types of learning. There's learning where we learn the halachot in order to know what to do. There's learning to inspire us, you know, to work on our midot, to work on our spirituality, to work on our character. There's learning, you know, just to fulfill the basic responsibility that we have of Torah study. This is a type of learning. It's a new type of learning. And what's that? It's a learning that's a gateway for us to experience the time, the uniqueness of Jewish experience, of Jewish holidays, or of korbanot. It's a type of learning that is a gateway to reconnect with what once was and with what really is currently, if we're able to enter into that realm. And perhaps that's why it needs its own Birchos HaTorah, because this is not just any other type of Talmud Torah, which itself is very, very profound. This is a type of Talmud Torah which is allowing me to literally open up my heart, open up my soul, open up my mind to be able to feel that energy of Yetzias Mitzrayim, to feel the exact same thing that the Jewish people felt, you know, 4,000 years ago, ballpark, when God took us out of Mitzrayim, that same energy, that same light, that same inspiration is coming down right now. And how am I going to tap into that? Through the Torah, through the text of the Haggadah, through the tradition of the Jewish people that goes back all the way from generation to generation. And this is a unique type of Talmud Torah. It's not a Talmud Torah like any of those other types. It's a Talmud Torah which allows me to connect, which allows me to feel to feel that energy which is present. And perhaps that's why it needs its own type of unique Birchos HaTorah. And that's this idea, Zos Torah Sa'ola, that when a person learns, that's what Nesiv HaShalom was getting to, when a person learns the Torah of the Ola, it's not only, you know, what once was, or learning the halachot of how to do it when the Beit HaMikdash is built, he's literally tapping into the energy of that Korban. He's opening up the gateways of that light, and that power, and that holiness that a Korban Ola could bring in. When a person learns the Torah of the Ola, he's entering into that gateway. And I think especially on Leila Seder, the text of the Haggadah, the Torah of the Haggadah, is a means, is an entranceway, is a shar for us to enter into the tremendous energy and tremendous spiritual potential of Leila Seder and of Pesach. And I think that's a very, very important thing for us to remember, that there's so much so much energy, so much potential, so much to be gained. And what's the way that we enter into that realm? Through the Torah, through the text of the Haggadah, specifically through the Psukim of Arami Oved Avi, how when we tell over the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and it's a unique type of Talmud Torah, it's a Talmud Torah which is begging for us to feel and experience and connect to the tremendous potential of the night. I think we'll stop there. We'll stop there for now. But a few beautiful ideas from the Nesiv Shalom, from the Parsha, and connected to Pesach, the Korban Ola, as it connects to Chametz, and the Torah of the Ola, as it connects to how we connect to the time. And Mizrach Hashem will take these ideas into Shabbos and into Pesach, and hopefully it will give us an added boost of connection and inspiration.
Amen, amen. Question.
I love questions.